no, I knew that. Thank you. Hey, still got my notes from a previous message on it. Reinventing myself. Yeah. Oh. Can't he just be both? I got the eraser. Thanks, guys. I think that's what you asked. Hey, good morning, everybody. That is a very obscure thing to do, to preach directly after that. However, I did choose that, so I'm the only one to blame. I think various members of our team who help design our services and the elements in it, they're very happy when I make decisions that are obscure like that, so then I can only blame myself if I don't like it at the end. Hey, how amazing was worship this morning? It's so cool to be at the Christmas season and remind ourselves that Christmas carols are actually worship. And that was amazing. Thank you to the little drummer boy. And by that, I mean Nick. Well, you're not very short. You're actually tall and lanky. So the tall, lanky drummer boy. Yeah, yeah. Wave those arms, octopus. Wave those arms. Hey, for those of you who I've not had the opportunity to meet, my name is Pastor Josiah, as my wife would have mentioned, and I get to share with you this morning. Isn't it great to be on the second Sunday of Advent?
Yeah!
Look what I learned.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say it when you came up for offering message. Yeah, 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 very good. Russell Brackenberry last week informed us it was the first Sunday of Advent. He also informed us what the reading would be. What would the reading be today, Russ? Not Mr. Christmas. Not Mr. Christmas. But second Sunday of Advent. Yeah, I'll find it. I'll find it and get it back to you. Google knows. At the very least, Google knows the answer. Sorry, it just takes me a moment to get sort of sorted here, and if I get sorted now, it potentially will go better for you. Or it won't. It's all to that. Hey, it is so great to see another lovely lady visiting us again this Sunday. Welcome back to Canada. We didn't bring the snow, obviously, but Hallmark did, so it's okay. As long as Hallmark brought you the snow. You didn't even take advantage of Locals Day to, like, yeah... I understand. I understand. Pastor Kimberly and I, we actually were helping out. We were taking part in the Hallmark film that was filmed this week in Revelstoke. Because how many of you know there was a Hallmark film filmed in Revelstoke earlier this year in like March? Mm-hmm. It was about Christmas. Marry Me at Christmas. Is that right? Looking for all the facts. Well, anyways, when it came out, the day it came out, we watched it on YouTube with my son Eli and my niece Jovi, who's three, is on the show. So he affectionately knows it as Jovi's Christmas movie. But when he saw it, he can't comprehend why Jovi's in the TV and he is not in the TV. So we went and participated on Tuesday with all four kids to try and get him into a movie so that he could now comprehend how he was in a movie and Jovi was in a movie. But then lo and behold, Pastor Kimberly and myself, we helped out on Thursday. So it was by far the most time I've spent outside. ever, really. Yeah, waiting on street corners with bags, and it was a very interesting experience nonetheless. Hey, I want to share a message with you this morning. We are talking about family in a roundabout way, because at Christmas time, family comes into our life, whether we invited them or not. Sometimes they just show up. Hopefully that's not a bad thing. Hopefully it's a good thing. You know, it's that time of year where when you live far away, you make the treacherous drive 36 hours somewhere to be there for one day for turkey dinner and a few presents just to make sure that mom is happy that Christmas, that you were there. Because your presence means a whole lot more than your presence. Oh, that's pretty good. Your presence means a whole lot more than your presence. I can't enunciate that well enough. But I want to read you a story which will connect to family and hopefully help you a little bit this Christmas season. Jacob's going to bring it up for me so that I get the right verse. It's in Luke 19, verses 1 to 10, and I'm going to read from the Message version. Yeah, great. I'll actually pull it up in my Bible, too. I just don't think I can see that far. This is about a guy named Zacchaeus. Anyone heard of Zacchaeus? He was actually the little guy. Although we were talking about the little drummer earlier, he's Zacchaeus the Little, or something like that. Little's, that's a movie somewhere. It says in verse 19, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus entered and walked through Jericho. There's a man there, his name's Zacchaeus, the head tax man." We talked about tax men last week. We get to talk about a different tax man today. Tax man and quite rich, which basically means he may have taken more tax than the government was taking. He wanted desperately to see Jesus, but the crowd was in his way. He was a short man and couldn't see over the crowd, the little man. So he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus when he came by. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home." You know, that unannounced guest? It's the family that just showed up the door. "Hey, I'm here to stay. What do you got in the fridge?" Thanks, Jesus. Thanks for the notice. Thanks for RSVPing. Zacchaeus scrambled out of the tree, hardly believing his good luck, delighted to take Jesus home with him. Everyone who saw the incident was indignant and grumped. Because you can grump. What business does he have getting cozy with this crook? Zacchaeus just stood there a little stunned. He stammered apologetically, "Master, I give away half of my income to the poor, and if I'm caught cheating, I pay four times the damages." Jesus said, "Today is salvation day in this home. Here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost." My message and my title for this message this morning, if you're taking notes, you can write it down, is Survival Guide. Survival Guide. Why don't you close your eyes? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to get around your word. God, I pray that this Christmas season, as we do this and we do that, God, that we also recognize your purpose within it. Mm-hmm. God, your purpose and your opportunity. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share a little bit from my heart and share a little bit from your word. God, let it be helpful, let it be relevant, and let it be something that can transform us as your word can do. Thank you that there's still no snow in Revelstoke and I haven't had to use my shovel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just a personal prayer in there too. I feel you. Zacchaeus, you may have heard this story of the little man Zacchaeus before in the tree. And I find, I'm going to tell a different story first. Okay, just remembering. Yeah, I'm going to tell a different story first. So I was in Bible college, and actually a Facebook memory came up on my page today. From 8 years ago, and it's me, it must have been like the day I got back from Bible college 8 years ago, so it's me taking a tour of this church building, coming in, showing the doors and stuff, because I was trying to show all my friends back in Bible college, my church, and it was just very intriguing to watch. Mind you, there was a lot of snow there, so it was also, you know, a realization of the grace God has given me this year with no snow. So anyways, I was in Bible college, and I took a class in Bible college because I was forced to, called Conflict Resolution. And it was taught by this gentleman named Justin Richards, and it was really great. He was an intriguing fella, and one day he was teaching us a concept. He was teaching us a concept about conflict resolution in conflict resolution class. I didn't realize how dirty this was. I'm going to teach you a similar lesson this morning. Because if you know me very well, or don't know me very well, you'll find this story funny and relevant. Don't you like my art skills, guys? This is a box. This is the extent of my imagery. He taught this lesson, and he was trying to explain to us how in relationships, you know how in relationships you have, or if you're a leader, let's say you're a leader or you're doing something, maybe you manage a construction site, maybe you're, you know, wrapping Christmas presents, or, you know, there's enough people in here. Maybe you and your spouse are decorating the tree together, or maybe not, because you've learned how to resolve conflict by simply not doing that together ever. But, you know, there are times where you're doing something and the task is extremely important. You know, if you're a perfectionist right here, you can say the task is always the most important thing. And others of us, based on our personality, we would say that people are always the most important thing. You ever work with someone and they, you know, they don't ever really get the task done, but they had tons of fun because they talked to everyone? You know, it's the Chatty Cathy. Is that still relevant? So he was trying to teach us this concept, and this is something I'll come back to here in a second. High, low. This is value. I know you can read this, right? Everyone can read this? You want me to sound it out? Okay. I'll block the light. No, I did this wrong. For those of you who wonder, oh, darkness. So there are different things in your life where the relationship is more important than the task, and the task is more important than the relationship. So we'll call this side task. We'll call this side relationship. Task or outcome. And so he was explaining this to me at this course. This side's task, this side's relationship. Hopefully a chart makes sense, but it may not. So, you know, it's something that is low value in task and low value in relationship, meaning you don't really care what the outcome of the relationship is, if the relationship still exists or doesn't exist, and you highly don't care about what the outcome of it is. So, for instance, generally, or this was a great example someone said is, you know, this right here is a telemarketer. They don't really care if they maintain the relationship with you. And to be honest, they don't really much care if they sell you something. They're just sort of doing their job. Does this make sense? So in this class, we were trying to give examples. And I have this problem, many actually, but I had this one particular problem where sometimes I think things and I say them, or sometimes I think I'm thinking, but I'm actually saying. Does this... you know, you ever said something and realize, oh, I thought that was in my head that I said that, but you're looking at me, so I must have said that out loud. Maybe you don't have those wires crisscrossed in your brain like I do, right? So, you know, depends on anything we're doing, right? So high value, low value for your task and relationship. Does this make some sense? Okay, yeah. Good. Some sense. So we were sitting in the class, and someone was giving their example of something. And has anyone been in school lately, like any sort of course of any sort? Yeah, okay. So I have always found that there is someone in a classroom that has the answer to every question. There's always this one person, you know. Every question, first hand up, and not saying there's anything wrong with them because Jesus loves them, but... But there's always this sort of thing, and I'm not exactly that type of person. I just silently think I'm right, which is more my way of doing things. But we were sitting in this class, and someone was giving some example, and she was talking, and you know how every once in a while someone gives like a comment about something that it has no relevance to what's going on, and at the end of their 5 to 10 minutes of sharing, you're like, great, we just lost 5 to 10 minutes of our life, and thank you for that. To some of you who are more this type of person who is very high on relationship, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about right now. But I was sitting in the class, and she was giving this example about something. I think to myself, like, oh, my goodness, can you just get to the point? I think to myself. And then as soon as I finished thinking to myself, I realized I didn't think it to myself. I yelled it across the room in the classroom. Honestly, I don't know how I did this. With my mouth, I yell across the room, can you just get to the point? And it stops, and everyone turns. I'm sitting at the back, and I realize in this moment I have made a major foul. And the lecturer turns and looks at me. He says, well, we know where Josiah fits on this category of things. It was. I don't get embarrassed very often, but it was one of those moments where I felt highly embarrassed that my internal talk had made it to my external talk. This person and I did not have much of a friendship after that, nor did we have much to begin with. Her name was Vanilla. I don't know why that matters, but it was an odd I guess that's why it matters. So here's the point. You're trying to figure out why any of this has anything to do with my message. Okay, I get that. So Christmas time is all about family. And Pastor Kimberly and I, we sat down this week and we talked about Christmas. Because we're, you know, we have three different families we try and do Christmas with her dad's side, her mom's side, my family, and you know how everyone has an expectation of what Christmas should look like. And I have learned, as I said, I think last week, I've learned since being married that I have high expectations that things should be exactly how I want them to be, and I don't really like to compromise very much because you know that would ruin the tradition and ruin my Christmas. But we had internal talk. So we had this conversation because we're sorting out what's Christmas, right? And for Pastor Kimberly, she grew up and she had cinnamon buns every morning. I guess they had coffee and cinnamon buns. Hopefully this isn't like a secret. Pillsbury cinnamon buns, right? But you know how when you get like a tradition, so my family grew up, or my mother always made cinnamon buns, like really good homemade cinnamon buns. But you know that those cinnamon buns are the wrong cinnamon buns for Christmas, right? Because if they were the Pillsbury cinnamon buns in that tradition, it's the Pillsbury cinnamon buns. It's not better cinnamon buns or different. It's those cinnamon buns. And I'm not critiquing that. You get what I'm saying. You have these traditions that, no, it's red lights on the tree only, or I don't know, you know, someone's got these traditions of how they, you know, it has to be yams with marshmallows, not with pecans, or, okay, good. You're following this. And we sat down this week and we went through a lot of these details trying to figure out what these details would look like and how we would resolve them and have a perfect Christmas that had everything, you know, that had plum pudding and rice grout or whatever these things were. And I was thinking about this in relation to family because, you know, to me, Christmas is always a challenge trying to sort out who has the right way of doing Christmas or whose way do we do this year for Christmas? Because, you know, everyone's got expectations. Everyone's got things that they want to accomplish. I was thinking about this story about Zacchaeus. And there's something really intriguing because it's not a very big story, right? I just read 10 verses, and I could read you other stories that took place over significantly less time that for some reason the Bible's had chapters and chapters and chapters of. And it's an interesting thing when I'm reading this because, you know, Zacchaeus is in the tree. All Jesus says is, "Zacchaeus, hurry down. Today is my day to be a guest in your home. Let's eat." I'd sort of think that Jesus should, you know, wait and see, you know, if they have anything in common, Zacchaeus and Jesus. You know, maybe there's, you know, maybe it'll be awkward conversation. Because, you know, Zacchaeus collects taxes, Jesus doesn't. Or maybe, you know, you'd think, well, right, which is what everyone else thought, is right after this, they say, well, you know, why is he hanging out with a crook? That doesn't seem quite right. He's a religious man. He's very good. He's well thought of. People are crowding around and want to spend time with him. And here's the guy who couldn't even bother to stand in line a little bit early so he could get right up close, but he had to climb into a tree because he showed up late. And he is the person that Jesus decides to spend time with. And I'm starting to realize, or I find myself learning more and more about the character of God and the character of Jesus being the same person, is that, you know, when God first enters the scene in the Bible is in the beginning, right? So you've got the creation, and then it's God on earth with Adam and Eve. And it says in the book of Genesis that God walked alongside Adam and Eve. It seems crazy, doesn't it? To walk alongside with God, like just literally walk alongside. That seems pretty far-fetched to me. It's hard for me to comprehend and imagine. But there's a thing about the character of God is that God actually cares to be really close to you. Yeah. Right? So if you follow the story of, if you follow through the thread of the Bible a little bit, you've got God, he's walking with Adam and Eve. They do something wrong and no longer can he walk with them. So what does he do to remedy this? He gets as close as he can, coming in human form so he can walk with them again. Isn't that funny? God walked with Adam and Eve, and then he became a human so he could walk with you and I again. Jesus got dangerously close. He chose to get as close as he possibly could. Human, supernatural, creating being came to be a human so he could get as close as he could to the people he loved. If you read through the account of Jesus a little bit, you'll hear that he's upset at a number of people, but the people he's upset at are the people who think that they live right and proclaim that they live right, but don't actually live right. And he's upset at the lawmakers. He's upset at these people who say, this is how you should live, but they do not abide by what they say that others should do. But when it comes to other people, so let's say these are the people who said there was rules, but broke them all. Said that they followed the rules, but broke them all. But all he did was just simply love all the people who said there were no rules and broke them all. It was those who said that they abided by the rules that there was concerns about, but those who didn't think there was rules, all he had was love for them. All he really cared to do was love them. And Jesus spent all this time, God spent all this time finding a way to get as close to us as possible. Because in his mind, proximity was the matter. He'd lost proximity to us. Proximity was the greatest concern, being as close as possible. He came as a human so he could be closer than he was already. So when he sees Zacchaeus, he just says, hey, let's have dinner because I want to get close to you. Jesus lived a life that prioritized closeness. He preferred to be close than to be convincing. He didn't start by trying to figure out what Zacchaeus knew, whether he was worthy, whether he was right, whether they had anything in common, whether he could convince him of the doctrine that he was preaching and proclaiming. He didn't really care about those details because he sort of thought that if I got close, it can work itself out. Yeah, right. I think one of the hardest things that I will ever have to try to comprehend, and I don't know if I ever will, about the Bible is that Jesus let Judas be close. Because I don't get it. It's a flaw in the story. I don't mean a legitimate flaw, but to me, it's a flaw. And you're all knowing. You only chose 12, so you chose him as all knowing, and he betrays you. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. It seems like a flaw. You erase that part of the story. And you try again. New draft, Jesus. New draft. But he saw enough potential. He was willing enough to have Judas close because it wasn't about being convincing. It was about getting close to him. It was about allowing people to be close to him so that they could catch him. And the reason I talk about this when it comes to Christmas and I talk about family is are we concerned more about being right when it comes to our family, or are we more concerned about being close? Because Jesus' actual care was about being close. But my normal care is to be right, personally. Maybe there's others like me. But you know, if the details aren't relevant for Jesus, he didn't ask what they were cooking as a Jewish man. He didn't ask if there was going to be, he didn't ask that all the rituals were going to be performed before they ate. He didn't give them any warning. He didn't ask if there was food. He just said, I'm coming to eat. But all he cared about was getting close. He says in the end here of this story I read, he says, here he is, Zacchaeus, son of Abraham, already a Jewish man. For the Son of Man came to find and restore the lost, to go out and get close. He came to find and restore the lost. You don't find something without getting to it. You can't find something from a distance. And find your iPhone may work to pinpoint where it is, but you actually have to get to it somehow. To find it. Jesus didn't just pinpoint where we were, he found us where we were. And I wonder how many times when it comes to Christmas we get concerned about these things that we need to be convincing or right about. To be honest, I'm not overly, I'm going to say something a little maybe perhaps controversial. I don't overly think that it's our job to proclaim, Christ is the reason for Christmas, or to overwhelm people with these other things. It's just our job to get close and be Christ in Christmas. Because otherwise, all we're really doing is creating a barrier between us and people when God's asked us just to be close to people. Because I think if I can get people around me, and if I actually have God in me, then I can show them who God is more than trying to convince them of what the season is. I don't know. I know it's a bit controversial, but sometimes I say things without thinking, or think things then to say them. I know that Christmas and Christ is the reason for the season, and I'm all on that. But if my stance on that keeps someone from my dinner table, I've allowed convincing to be more important than closeness. I've allowed my opinion to be more important than Jesus's prerogative. Because Jesus just cared about being close. He didn't not have an opinion. He didn't not have a purpose. He didn't not have a plan. But he knew he needed to get close. He needed to be in proximity. I wrote this down a little while ago because I often come up with different thoughts as I'm in the Word and just trying to think of things. And I wrote this, which is relevant to some of you and not to others, is that a leadership title, so whether you're called the boss or whatever, it doesn't negate or it doesn't actually accomplish what is accomplished in real relationship. You can't lead someone with title if you don't have a relationship. It's a counterfeit. It's actually the relationship that's required to be able to lead someone. Because I can tell you here, if you don't think that I care about you, you don't care what I have to say. Even if I've got a title. Jesus knew that if he got close to someone, he could have an opinion in their life rather than having an opinion that kept him from getting close to them. I've got a lot of opinions of how Christmas Day should go. A lot of opinions of how Christmas Day should go. I have a lot of opinions of what time we should wake up, what order things should be in, what should be at the dinner table, and what should not. Just being vulnerable with you this morning. But if my opinion keeps someone from the table, I've missed the reason for the season. Even if I'm proclaiming the reason for the season. Yes. Christmas is such an amazing opportunity to proclaim and to invite people to the reason of the season. This week I was just thinking about it this morning, I had three different conversations with people about church and Christmas and things, and it wasn't hard. I wasn't trying, to be honest. It just was available. Because there's just opportunity this time of year. Opportunity to open a door or close it. Yes. Opportunity to strengthen a relationship or break a relationship. I wonder if we could be a people that prioritize being close than being convincing. I have a thought that I wrote down a number of years ago. And when Pastor Kimberly and I were in Kelowna, we used this as a tagline for a service we were planning to start then. And as a church, this is what I believe. I believe as a church that we are a church that creates spaces that the presence of God can be in. I use the word spaces because it's a connect group. It's a wing night. It's a worship team meeting. It's a service. It's a this. I want the presence of God to be here. Because I know if someone can encounter the presence of God, it can do something that I can't. And it can do something that only it can do, that only he can do. Because I am not that convincing. I am not the best public speaker. I do not have the most logic. I can't even get words right a lot of the time. As you know. But if I can get people into the presence of God. So I believe as a church, we are a church that does two things. In this element, as we create spaces where the presence of God is, and then we make sure that people want to be there. Because sometimes churches do the opposite. Create really great spaces for the presence of God, but no one wants to be there. Because it actually needs both. I need the presence of God with people. I need people to get into the presence of God. Maybe your Christmas dinner is a place where the presence of God is and people want to be. Maybe this season is an opportunity for the presence of God to be there with people alongside you. Let's prioritize closeness to them being convincing. Because here's the idea. Is closeness will allow the opportunity to overcome the convincing. I think Jesus had a lot of disciples that had a lot of wrong ideas, a lot of things he had to correct, a lot of things he had to work out and conflict resolve. And he cared about the people. He cared enough about Judas to still have him close in the opportunity that maybe something would change in his heart. He was willing to be in a place that he could be backstabbed, in a place that he could be hurt, because he cared enough about Judas to still give him proximity. Without proximity, there is no opportunity. Judas had no chance unless he had opportunity and proximity to Jesus. And some people in our lives have no chance unless we open the door and allow for things. We'd be okay with some of their weird things that they do, some of their thoughts about what Christmas is. It's funny. I don't mean this. This can sound degrading, so hopefully it doesn't. Degrading? No, not degrading. It can sound. Hear my heart in this. You know, I hear people talk about the meaning of Christmas. Oh, what's the meaning of Christmas? You know, different people. Oh, you know, it's family. It's love. It's, you know, getting together. And those things are all good things. And I can correct them, or I can just be okay with that. As Pastor Kimberly highlighted to me the other week, we were talking about this, I don't know why, is that all the things that people talk about are just aspects of God. Yeah, Christmas is all about those things and other things, but that's okay. You're catching a piece of it. It is about family. Yeah, because God's about family. It is about relationship. Yeah, because God's about relationship. It is about love because God's about love. It is about generosity because God's about generosity. It's not only about that, but yeah, just come close. Let's be generous. Let's see these other things. Now, it's not like, oh yeah, but it's that, but you know, it's actually Christ and Christmas. Now, they're not coming to Christmas Eve service after that. But they might if you said, yeah, you know, it is about family. Why don't you join our family at Christmas Eve? And I don't care about being convincing. I care about being close. Because please, oh God, let me get people to be close to you. And then you can sort them out. You can do what you want to do. You can highlight the things that are important. God says that there is no sin that is greater than the other sin. But some reason I think there is. So I disqualify you when God never did. And if God's not dealing with that in your life yet, then I am not going to deal it with your life. Deal in it in your life yet. Because he doesn't think it's a barrier yet. You get close. God's pretty good about telling people when it's like, hey, you know that thing in your life? Yeah, sure. Sometimes it comes from a voice. I'm shocked how many times people say, oh, you know, this message was preaching to me. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Or, you know, they think that I was talking about something that I don't know that's going on in your life, because God's actually talking to you. And I'm not really. I'm just here and hoping that I can open my mouth and God can come out. Like, just really. Hopefully this works. I don't know. I'm just flying by the seat of my pants. Let's just get close. Let God be convincing if he wants to be when he wants to be. His timing is perfect, and it's not ours. Yes. Very good. Sorry. I pleaded with him. He hasn't changed his mind. Not yet. Why don't you close your eyes? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to, God, to hopefully show a character aspect of you. It really is not got anything to do with me. It's really nothing about me that I care to share. But God, I really care that we can be a people who know you and a people who hear you and a people who see the opportunities as opportunities. A people of the open door and not the closed door. Of inclusion and not exclusion, of opportunity. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, no one moving around unless you absolutely have to, I want to give an opportunity for anyone who's saying, hey, you know, I would like an introduction to Jesus. And I've talked about God, I've talked about Jesus, I've talked about the Bible, and maybe you've never heard of any of these things, but maybe something's stirring in you, I don't know. I've already said, all I do is talk and hope God does the rest. So if God's doing something for you this morning, that's really what I'm saying. if he's speaking to you this morning, if he's tugging on you and you're feeling something that's different, if you're saying, hey, I don't know what this is, but I want more of it in my life. It feels like what I've been missing. I want to give an opportunity for me to be an introduction. That's all I really can do. To say a prayer with you, ask Jesus to come and make himself known to you and help you live your life. It's a funny thing of the misconception of who Jesus is. We believe sometimes in our society that Jesus will turn us into something, but Jesus will actually just uncover who we are. Every relationship wants to tell me who I am, and Jesus just wants to show you who you were before any of that. From the beginning, if you will. If that's you and you'd like me to include you in this prayer, I'm going to ask in just a moment for you to lift your hand so that I can see it. Like I said, every eye closed, every head bowed, no one looking around for the privacy of others. Lift your hand so I can see it, and then put it down, and then we're going to say a prayer. If there's anyone like that here this morning, why don't you put up your hand now? Yes, I see that hand. Just one more moment. Awesome. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm going to do this a little different than I usually do, if that's all right. You're afraid. Can I get you to come up? Hey.
Hi.
Congratulations. Kimberly's going to come up because I don't like to be alone with females on the stage.
I'm scared.
You can stand down here. No, sorry. You're good. You're great. Sure, you can stay there too. You can do whatever you'd like right now. I'm going to pray for you, and we're going to pray together. Sound good?
Yeah.
Why don't you close your eyes? And then Pastor Kimberly and I are going to pray for you. Can we get her a mic? Someone? Thanks. Why don't you repeat after me? Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart. Help me to know you, to experience you, to see you. God, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Personally, for me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Why don't you keep your eyes closed? I'm going to pray just one more time just for you. Is that all right? Pastor Kimberly, yes. And then I'm going to. Yes.
God, I thank you for the grand purpose, the grand plan you have, and all these individual stories and journeys that we are living out and playing out, but it's all in your hands, God. And right now, I thank you for Eva. I thank you for the incredible woman she is, who she is becoming, for the life that she has lived so far, and for the life that is ahead of her, God. And I thank you, God, that she has found you. And she doesn't understand entirely what that means yet, nor do all of us to many degrees. But what we do know is that you are in her life now, and you are with her, and you will be walking through her through the high moments of the faith, through the low moments of doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But your presence is in her life. She is made new. She has a fresh start today. And God, I am so excited about the future of all the things that are in her, the adventures she will have, the people we shall meet, she will meet, the places she will go, God. And would she always feel protected, grounded, surrounded, and ultimately loved by your goodness, God. We thank you for her bravery, for her courage, for the step of faith she has made, the most important one ever. And God, would this just be an insane week and an insane year of you revealing yourself to her. In Jesus' name.
God, I thank you for Eva. God, and I pray that you just give her confidence in you. You know, for many of us here, our conversion experience or the time that we met Jesus, sometimes it feels like a transformation and sometimes it doesn't. But that doesn't change the spiritual transformation that takes place. Be prepared. Don't doubt. Don't worry. Just rest. Just rest in the confidence that, hey, Jesus has changed something in me. I don't know what that means. I don't even know what it means to be a Christian or what that word means sometimes. But something's happened. Reveal yourself to her, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you. Hey, why don't you give her a round of applause? Babe, I've got nothing else to say.
That was awkward.
If you could come back. I'll stand.
Amazing.
Here.
What a great service. It's not about being convincing, babe. It's about getting close.
We have different love languages.
Oh, we do. Don't forget, C3 groups are still running. So if you want to get on a tail end of one, we've got men's group with Jeff on Tuesday, Monday night at Genie's. Tabby's out exercising. We got that meetup boards out there. If you're doing something random and want people to come along, I know Andrew has written something up there. Feel free, grab a piece of chalk. Let people know what you're doing. Add your number so they can join you. Good times all around. Next week, Ugly Sweater Sunday.
Yeah.
Blair, would you just like twirl around in the back? Lights, flashing lights. There it is. There it is. So if you can beat that, you better. I'm telling you, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We've got the four of us have our get up. So we'll be super cute, like the super cute little pastor family. So you don't want to miss that. You really don't want to miss that. Anyways, we love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Goodbye.
Do you have a sweater vest?